Blog Talk Radio.
Saints, and welcome to another edition of Contending for the Faith with yours truly, Moses Henry Jones. And we are in studio tonight, and we're hoping that Mr. Jensen Franklin has grown a spine. The number here for Mr. Jensen Franklin to call is area code 516-418-5978. Again, Mr. Franklin has a number of adjutants, assistants, lackeys. They can write this number down and dial it for their boss. The number here is area code 516-418-5978. We'll be looking at the board all night while the show goes on to see if Mr. Franklin calls the show, because he has a lot to answer for. Well, I'm posing the question, how spiritually and biblically retarded is Jensen Franklin? And my assessment is that the man is very retarded, extremely retarded, spiritually retarded and biblically retarded. Listen, Saints, we've done four shows so far. I need to encourage you. Don't take shortcuts. If you're tuning in tonight for the first time and you're catching us on show number 5, let me encourage you to go back. You've got to listen to show number 1. You've got to listen to show number 2, 3, and 4. And this way you can catch up, because you're coming into show number 5 and you probably don't know what I'm talking about, even though you're going to be able to follow us with the outline that I provide for all of my listeners. And if you would like to receive an outline free of charge, all you have to do is email me, Moses Henry Jones, at freechurchbooks@gmail.com, freechurchbooks@gmail.com. I will send you all the outlines for all the broadcasts. They are scholarly outlines, and the reason why they're scholarly is because Mr. Franklin is not scholarly. I'm scholarly, and I want to prove to you that the man who is preaching this sermon called Jezebel's Children is biblically and spiritually super-duper retarded. The man has no business being in any pulpit, has no business being a pastor, has no business ministering to groups of people in seven campus churches that he has. Now, of course, Mr. Franklin is going to do what he wants to do, but he has no business. He has no business teaching anybody because the guy is a biblical moron. That's what he is. Now, I am offering you free of charge, all my listeners, if you're tuning in for the first time, I'm offering you a trilogy. It's a trilogy based on his New York Times bestseller. That's right, New York Times bestseller. What is the title of that book? Jensen Franklin wrote a book in 2013 called The Spirit of Python. And I wrote a series of books, a trilogy, proving that the man started out as a dunce, then went from dunce to ignoramus, then went from ignoramus to retard. And now, 6 years later, in 2019, he has graduated from retard to super duper retard. So I want to encourage you to email me for the books. Again, you can email me at freechurchbooks@gmail.com. Franklin, you can tell your church members that I'm offering this free trilogy, and they can get it from me, Franklin, free of charge. Now, you sold them a book. They paid $25 plus and got ripped off and were told a bunch of lies. But here we are offering a free trilogy. And my brothers and sisters, you got to admit, the trilogy is fantastic. It is an eye-opener. Listen, it is it's a wonderful scholarly work. And it's not the kind of scholarship that's going to put you to sleep. It's the kind of scholarship that's going to keep you at the edge of your seat. Now, again, if you want to read a book that you're not going to be able to put down, email me at freechurchbooks@gmail.com and say, Brother Jones, may I please have that trilogy that you're offering on Jensen Franklin and his idiotic, moronic Spirit of Python teaching. And I tell you, my brothers and sisters, after reading book number one, you're going to know the guy is a dunce. After reading book number two, you're going to know he's a certifiable ignoramus. And after reading book number three, you're going to know beyond any shadow of a doubt that the man is a biblical retard. So order the books. It's easy to do. Just send me the email and say, may I please have the offer that you're giving free of charge. Well, let's go to our outlines. This is broadcast number five. The outline that you have starts on page number 10. So you need to scroll down. If you received my email on the outlines, you need to go to page number 10. And on the top of page 10, you have the title of the series or the title of the broadcast, Contending for the Faith with Moses Henry Jones, and that is in blue. So the top, the heading, needs to be in blue. This is broadcast number 221, and this is part five in the series, and the broadcast date is December the 10th, 2019. So again, you need to have the bottom of the page needs to say page number 10. The heading on top needs to be in blue. The broadcast number is 221. This is part 5. And the broadcast date is 12/10/2019. Now, what I am doing here in this series is I am forensically taking apart, I am dissecting Jensen Franklin's sermon entitled Jezebel's Children. And if you recall, in our previous broadcast, in broadcast number four, or rather broadcast number three, I told you that there were five pillars, five erroneous pillars, five faulty pillars of interpretation. There are five erroneous things that Jensen Franklin says upon which his sermon is built on. These are five faulty interpretation pillars. I am dealing currently with interpretation pillar number one, and that's where we were yesterday, and that's where we are today, and that's where we're going to be there tomorrow. We're still dealing with this first faulty pillar of interpretation, and my job is to take the biblical sledgehammer of truth and knock down each one of these five pillars. And at the end of the exercise, however long that takes, because I'm just going to roll with it. I'm just going to flow as the Holy Spirit gives me direction. And right now, we dealt in our previous broadcast, and broadcast number four, we began to tackle faulty pillar number one. Today, we're going to continue to tackle faulty pillar number one. And by the time we get through with the five pillars, you're going to see that Jensen Franklin has no business preaching or teaching anything. All right. So let's go to faulty pillar number one. And faulty pillar number one goes something like this. Jensen Franklin claims, that the woman called Jezebel in Revelation 2:20 is actually a malevolent spirit and not a wicked woman. Yes, indeed, my brothers and sisters. Jensen Franklin claims that the woman mentioned in Revelation 2:20, the woman whom Jesus called Jezebel, is not really a woman. Oh no, she's not a woman. She's really an evil spirit, a demonic spirit, a wicked spirit, a fallen spirit. All right, now, it says in Revelation chapter 2, verse 20, this is Jesus speaking. If you have one of those red letter edition Bibles, Jesus says, nevertheless, he's speaking to the pastor, to the angel of the church of Thyatira. He says, nevertheless, I have a few things against you because you allow that woman, notice the woman is in bold, you allow that woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Please note that Jesus called the person in Revelation 2:20 a woman, that woman to be more specific, and he called that woman a Jezebel. Notice he didn't say, you have allowed that spirit Jezebel, or that demon Jezebel, or that she devil Jezebel. No, Jesus is quite specific. He calls her a woman, and he calls her Jezebel. Please note that John the Apostle was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit when he recorded that Jesus called the person in Revelation 2:20 a woman, a Jezebel. Now, let's go to Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, just to prove the fact that John was in the Spirit, and when he wrote, he was writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and if he was writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, John wrote nothing down in error. Everything he wrote was perfect because he was being led, guided, driven by the Holy Ghost. So let's go to Revelation 1:10. Let's see what the text says. And this is John. He says, this is John speaking. He says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What you see, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira and unto Sardis and unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. Please note that John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and as a result of being in the Spirit, in the zone, if you will, the Lord Jesus, who is the Alpha and the Omega, said to him, now you can write, because you're going to write under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth, who leads us and guides us to all truth. So notice, Jesus, the speaker of the seven letters, the one who addresses the seven angels of the seven churches, the one who's in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, that Jesus, who the Bible says is the way, the truth, and the life, he tells us that the woman in Revelation 2:20 is actually a woman, not a spirit, not a demon, not a fallen angel, but a woman named Jezebel. And John, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, wrote down the words of Jesus, and since Jesus called her a woman and called her a Jezebel, John wrote down that she was a woman and she was a Jezebel. But now, Jensen Franklin wants us to blindly accept that the person being referred to in Revelation 2:20 is not what Jesus claimed she was, a woman, a Jezebel, but rather, Franklin wants us to believe that this person being mentioned in Revelation 2:20 is actually a malevolent spirit whom he and his fellow pandemonists call the spirit of Jezebel. Now, you know what a pandemonist is. A pandemonist is a crazy Christian who sees demons everywhere. When they open up their closet to put clothes in their closet, they see a demon inside the closet. When they go down to the basement to put some boxes in the basement, they see demons in the basement. When they go up into the attic to retrieve something from their attics, they see a demon in their attic. When they go to the bathroom and they pull up the toilet bowl lid, when they look down in the toilet bowl, they see demons. Everywhere these people see a demon. They blame demons for everything. That's a pandemonist. And the Lord's church today is filled with pandemonists, crazy people who are always talking about the spirit of Jezebel, the spirit of Ahab, the spirit of Leviathan, the sneaky squid spirit. It makes no difference. They're always talking about some spirit. Some spirit is to blame for something. That's what a pandemonist is. They blame demons for everything and see demons everywhere. Jensen Franklin happens to be a pandemonist, and I make the case in the trilogy, The Spirit of Python. All righty. Now, in our previous lesson, to prove that Jensen Franklin was wrong and that Jesus and the Holy Ghost were right, and that John was right, we refer to biblical concordances. We looked at the Cruden's Concordance, we looked at the Strong's Concordance, and we looked at the Young's Concordance. We looked at three major concordances, and we proved, based on those precious books, those academic tomes, we proved that the woman being referred to in Revelation 2:20 is actually a woman, or as the Greek says, a gune. A gune. Remember that lesson where we talked about the Greek word gune and all that that word meant according to the concordances that we looked at? And then following the study on the concordance, we followed that up with a look at several lexicons. We looked at nine different Greek lexicons. And what we discovered, that the lexicons confirmed what were in the concordances, that a gune is actually a woman. It could be a woman. It could be an unmarried woman. It could be a married woman. It can be a widow. It can be a woman of marriageable age. It could be referring to a woman who's a virgin. It has many connotations, but always a woman, never a spirit, never a demon. Agune is never a demon. Agune is never a fallen angel. Agune is never, 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 never a malevolent spirit. Agune is always a woman. God made the male and female. Male and female made he them. Man and woman made God them. So Agune is a woman. And we saw that. The concordances bore that out. And the Greek lexicons bore that out. And the reason why we went to Greek lexicons is because Revelation is in the New Testament, and the New Testament was written in Greek. Now, today, in order to continue to hit that pillar, in order to hit that pillar with the sledgehammer of biblical truth, we're going to turn to Bible commentaries. We're going to turn to books that explain Bible verses verse by verse. That's what a Bible commentary is. You have a commentator, and the commentator is a biblical scholar, a biblical linguist, and they look at a verse in the original language, and they write out what that verse means. They comment on the verse. They explain the verse so that the layman, so that the Christian can actually understand what that particular verse means. And today we're going to be looking at what the commentator said on Revelation chapter 2, verse 20, in reference to this woman named Jezebel. We want to know if there's any possibility that this woman Jezebel is actually a demon. We want to know that. Because if she's not a demon, as we proved in the previous lesson, then again, Jensen Franklin is wrong. So let's go to the audio. I want to play the audio for you on Jensen Franklin's sermon, and I want you to see when he gets to Revelation 2:20 and he starts to talk about, and he mentions the woman Jezebel, perk up your ears, because you're going to actually hear him say, he's going to read the verse where it says, "And that woman Jezebel," and then he's going to say, "It's not actually a woman, it's actually a spirit." Okay, I want you to hear him say that. All right, here's Mr. Jensen Franklin. And again, as the Bible is being read, as Jensen Franklin reads the Bible, it might behoove Mr. Franklin to stick his head out of the sand and get his cell phone and call me at 516-418-5978. Again, maybe one of Mr. Franklin's adjutants can tell him to wake up from his nap. The number here is 516-418-5978. Here is Mr. Franklin reading Revelation 2:18 through 29.
I want you to look with me today in Revelation chapter 2, and I'm going to begin reading with verse 17. He who has an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying, I don't have time to read that. Verse 18, "And the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things, says, who's saying this? The Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, and faith, your patience as for your works. The last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you because you allow that woman Jezebel." I want all the women to relax because this is not that kind of a sermon. But because you allow that woman Jezebel, which is a reference to a spirit, really.
You see what he said? Jesus said she was a woman. John wrote down under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He was being guided by the Holy Spirit. And John wrote down that she's a woman. But Franklin says, no, she's not a woman. She's really a spirit. Well, that doesn't square with Scripture. That doesn't line up with the Word. And we saw in the concordance, when we looked at the concordance told us that the word being used there in Revelation 2:20 for woman was gune. And we went through the concordance and we saw what the word gune meant. And it is not spirit. It's not a demon. It's not a fallen angel. It's actually a woman. The opposite of man. That's what it is. You have an Adam, who's a man, and you have an Eve, who's a woman. You have a man and a woman. And so here the text is saying, Jesus is saying, I have a few things against you, Pastor, because you have allowed that woman in your church who calls herself a prophetess. And Jensen Franklin says, well, no, saints, ladies, don't get mad. This sermon is not, when I'm not here to talk about women because it's not really about women. It's really about a spirit. No, 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 no. You cannot take liberties with the word of God, Jensen. It's really a woman. And the Greek text bears that out. The Greek lexicons, the Greek dictionaries bore that out. But here this moron wants us to just believe him blindly that it's a spirit. Here it is again.
More than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you because you allow that woman Jezebel. I want all the women to relax because this is not that kind of a sermon. But because you allow that woman Jezebel, which is a reference to a spirit, really.
Which is a reference to a spirit, really. No, not really. No. We're not drinking that Kool-Aid. It's not a spirit. Jesus said it was a woman. John, under the inspiration, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, when he wrote down the words of Jesus, John specifically used the word gune, to let, not pneuma, which is spirit, but gune, which is woman. But now here, this false teacher extraordinaire, this ignoramus par excellence, wants us to believe that it's a spirit. But it's not a spirit. It's a woman. Okay, let's listen to a little bit more because he's gonna let you know. There's not going to be any doubt now that he's making sure that you know that it's a spirit. All right, let's listen.
Who calls herself a prophetess to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Listen to this. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. And then I want you to really focus in on this. Verse 23. I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he who searches, notice this now, the minds and hearts. Everybody say minds and hearts. And I will give to each of you according to your works. Verse 26, he who overcomes, overcomes what? The spirit that he just described. He who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him will I give power over the nations. He'll rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like potter's clay, like potter's vessels. What's beautiful about this is he said, in the end, I'm going to give authority to people who have been broken vessels. I'm going to give broken vessels power and authority to rule in mighty ways. I want to talk to you about something very different today that God laid on my heart, that I believe is a word very much in season for our lives. I'm preaching today on Jezebel's children. We've all probably heard people refer to Jezebel, but I want to talk about that 23rd verse where he makes reference to Jezebel's children. And I believe the Lord is going to speak to us today. The first three chapters of the book of Revelation describe seven churches. And it is a picture, and it gives the characteristics of what the end time church is going to be like. seven stages of Christianity, seven prophetic churches. In most of those churches, there's things that Jesus himself compliments, and there's things that he confronts and combats. And there's certain characteristics of those churches. For example, the Laodicea church had the characteristic of being lukewarm. They were lukewarm. They were not hot. They were not cold. They were just lukewarm. And then the church of Philadelphia is one of the seven that he names, and it was a loving church. And Jesus complimented them and spoke to John and said, there will be the love of God is needed in every church like Philadelphia, the church of Philadelphia has. But it was according to the seven personalities and characteristics working through the seven churches. Lean in. I promise this is going to hit you right where you're living. He said, now, in the church of Thyatira, there is something that you have done right, but then he shifts the focus and he says, but I have something against you because you're allowing Jezebel to seduce and bring sexual immorality into the church and into people's lives. Jezebel was a reference that goes all the way back to 1 Kings 18 and 19. She was a woman who married Ahab, and she was exceedingly wicked and immoral. And even though she had been dead for over 1,500 years, maybe up to 1,800 years, she had been dead, her spirit was very much alive in a new generation. And notice what he said. He said she had children. Every generation, the spirit of Jezebel will produce children. And these spirits, if you entertain them, if you shelter them, if you feed them, they will grow up. And that's why he said in the 23rd verse, her children have to die. You cannot, notice what he tied them to. You cannot allow them to dominate your mind. Did you catch it? They're after the reins of your mind and your heart to turn you away from God. And they come as small things, and if you feed them, shelter them, feed lust, shelter the characteristics that I'm about to give you concerning Jezebel, they will take over your mind, take over your heart, and destroy your life in every way. Jezebel has children. He's warning us. Jesus himself is warning the end time church that the predominant spirit that will come to the end time church will be Jezebel, and she will have children alive even though she's been dead for 18 years. She will have spiritual children, demonic spirits alive that will attack families, marriages, homes, men, women, and it's going to manifest in their minds and attack their minds and their hearts.
All right. Well, you heard him say again and again that Jezebel is a spirit, and this spirit gives birth to little demons, and you have to kill these little demon spirits and blah, blah, blah. Okay, so now let's go to the commentaries because, like I said before, we've already used concordances, and we saw, based on the concordances, that Jensen Franklin is wrong. There is no spirit in Revelation 2:20. It's actually a woman. And then we looked at the Greek lexicons. We looked at the Greek dictionaries because Revelation 2:20 was written in Greek. And the word gune is, again, never refers to what? A spirit, an evil spirit, a demon, a she-devil, never. So now we want to turn to the men whom God has blessed the church with, erudites, scholars, what we call biblical divines, who were able, by their intellectual giftings, to look at Bible verses in the original language and make them plain to the common Christian. And I have a number of commentaries here on the book of Revelation, and what I did was I made sure that I was using commentaries that most people don't have, because some of you are Bible students, some of you are pastors, some of you are listening to me, some of you are already in the ministry, and you have commentaries. You have Matthew Henry and Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown. And you have Matthew Poole's commentary, right? So you have commentaries at home. So I wanted to give you the commentaries that most people don't have. This way you can see what the scholars have said. All right, so let's go to William Newell's commentary on Revelation 2:20. These are all wonderful scholars. All wonderful scholars. This is William R. Newell. And he cites here, it's in bold, he cites the scripture, he puts down the text, "I have against thee that thou sufferest the woman Jezebel." Literally, Newell says, literally thy wife. In other words, Newell argues that the woman who is seducing the church in Revelation 2:20 is actually the pastor's wife, thy wife. Now remember, When we looked at the concordances and we looked at the lexicons, one of the translations, one of the possible meanings for the word gune is wife. So Newell concludes that this happens to be this woman named Jezebel, who is seducing the saints, happens to be the pastor's wife, and the pastor is letting this new Jezebel do to the church what Ahab allowed the old Jezebel to do to Israel. Literally, thy wife, as Jezebel to Ahab. This reference, writes Newell, undoubtedly to a literal woman whom the Lord calls by the hated name of the seducing queen of Israel of long ago. And I put that in red. Newell says, is a reference undoubtedly to a literal woman. It's not a demon. Why can't it be a demon? Because Jesus didn't call Jezebel a pneuma, a spirit, but he called her a woman, a gune. So it has to be a literal woman. Any scholar, listen, any preacher knows that the text is not referring to a spirit. But Jensen Franklin is going against the words of Jesus and going against the recorded text of John. All right. Let's move to commentator number two, R.H. Charles. R.H. Charles. He writes, "Jezebel is here used symbolically of some influential woman in the church of Thyatira." Notice he says, of some influential woman. Not an influential demon. Not an influential spirit. Jezebel is here used symbolically. It's a symbolic term for some influential woman in the church of Thyatira, and chosen in reference to the wife of Ahab, who was guilty of whoredom and witchcraft. And he cites the scriptures. And sought to displace the worship of God, of the God of Israel, by the idolatrous cult introduced from other lands. So Charles says that this woman being referred to in Revelation 2:20 is some influential woman. Singular. One woman. One woman. All right. Edgar S. Ainsley, he writes, and by the way, all of these citations have footnotes, so you can see all the books where I pulled this all out of. So you can go check it out for yourself and see that I didn't make any of this up. And I told you that Jensen Franklin was a dunce. And the reason why the man is a dunce, I spend a great deal of time developing this in volume one. He's a dunce because he failed to go to the library. He's a dunce because he failed to hit the books. That's why the man is a dunce. You see how I went to the concordance? And I found out what the word woman meant in the original language, and then I followed that up by going to the Greek lexicons to make sure that what the concordance was saying was backed up by the Greek lexicons. And then, again, I'm checking once again by going to the commentaries. You see how you have to triple and quadruple check yourself to make sure that you understand what the text means and what the text is saying? Edgar S. Ainsley wrote, "It is the only church in which a woman's name is mentioned. Not a demon's name, not a spirit's name, but a woman's name is mentioned. Jezebel, the queen of Israel, the consort of Ahab, the power behind the throne, probably the most sinful woman to stain the page of history. She was religious, yes, but with a heart as black as hell. She was cunning, crafty, idolatrous, clever, pagan, bloodthirsty, the pagan murderess of Jezreel, the woman that turned the boldest prophet of God into a trembling, craven coward. Here, she represents another woman who, with her seductive charms, is seducing the church of Thyatira." Notice, my brothers and sisters, it's not a demon. Like Jensen Franklin is telling us, oh, it's not really a woman. Oh, don't take Jesus. No, no. Jesus said woman, but it's not really woman. It's a spirit. All right. J. Vernon McGee. This is what he wrote. "Jezebel had brought paganism into the northern kingdom of Israel. And evidently there was in the local church at Thyatira a woman, not a spirit, not a demon, not a fallen angel. And evidently there was in the local church at Thyatira a woman who had the reputation as a teacher and prophetess who was the counterpart of Jezebel, the consort of Ahab." All right, let's move along. Let's go to page number 12. Page number 12. William Barclay, the great Greek scholar, says, early on we saw that the angel of the church may be the bishop of the church. If then the letter is addressed to the bishop of the church, and there is a reference to your wife, Jezebel, remember the Greek word gune, as we saw in the lexicons. Go back to the previous lesson. Go back to your previous outline where one of the possible interpretations of gune is wife. So he writes, if then the letter is addressed to the bishop of the church and there is a reference to your wife Jezebel, it may mean that the cause of all the trouble is the bishop's wife. Now, the bishop's wife can't be a demon. She has to be a woman. That would be an interesting sidelight on the early Christian congregations, and it would not be the last time that the wives, not the spirits, but the wives of church officials were the sources of trouble in a congregation. And to William Barclay, I say amen. To William Barclay, I say amen. All right, Thomas S. Kepler, one of the great authors on Revelation, he writes this: the main charge against Thyatira is toleration of false teaching. It is implied that the woman symbolized by Jezebel is some woman within the church who is teaching false doctrine. It is implied that the woman symbolized by Jezebel is some woman within the church. R.C.H. Lenski, the great Lutheran linguist, writes this: the woman of this letter cannot be a sibyl. A sibyl is a Greek term for prophetess. The woman in this letter cannot be a sibyl. She is a pretending prophetess who operates right in the Christian church as one of its members. Some have assumed that her name was actually Jezebel, but this name is symbolic. what Jezebel, the wife of King Ahab, was to the northern kingdom of Israel, this woman was in the church of Thyatira. This woman, this new Jezebel, not this spirit, but this woman was in the church of Thyatira. So again, all of these commentators, not one. And listen, I could have given you 100 commentaries on the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 20, and not one of them would have said that the woman being referred to here was actually a spirit. The only ignoramus, the only moron, the only super-duper retard in all the church who's going to conclude that the woman in Revelation 2:20 is a spirit is Jensen Franklin, the only one. That's why the title of the broadcast is How Retarded, How Biblically and Spiritually Retarded is Jensen Franklin? And my answer is very. And we're not even done. This is just, listen, we're in the middle of obliterating faulty interpretation pillar number one. Wait till we get to pillar two, pillar three, pillar four, pillar five. This guy is super duper retarded, and it's not an exaggeration. Now, John F. Walwood wrote, and I remember I got this book on my 17th birthday. My aunt asked me, what would you like for your 17th birthday? I said, I would like the commentary by John F. Walwood, The Revelation of Jesus Christ. He was the president of Dallas Theological Seminary, and I wanted the book. She got it for me. So John Walwood writes, here is a sweeping indictment of the church's toleration of the woman named Jezebel and her teaching and influence, which led the church to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. This woman, Jezebel, is not a true messenger of divine truth. That's what he says. This woman, Jezebel, the woman in the text, the woman in being referred to as Jezebel in Revelation 2:20, is not a true messenger of divine truth. So there you have it, my brothers and sisters. There you have it. We looked at the commentaries, and every single commentary has confirmed what the lexicons have already concluded and what the concordances concluded. And my brothers and sisters, the show is over. Jensen Franklin has not called in as of yet, and it's most likely he's not going to call in tomorrow, not going to call in the next day, because he's got his head stuck in the sand like an ostrich with his behind up in the air. And Franklin needs to man up and show up and answer these questions, but he's not. All righty, my brothers and sisters, we still have some more. Excuse me. I shortchanged you. We still have some more. Look at that. All right, Simon J. Kistemaker. I love Mr. Kistemaker. He took over for William Hendrickson when William Hendrickson died and didn't complete his New Testament commentaries. Simon J. Kistemaker writes on Revelation 2:20, this woman, notice how he starts, the woman in Thyatira is referred to by the name of the wife of the king Ahab and called herself a prophetess. This woman held an influential post in the church because she was a teacher, and her instruction was deceptive. She persuaded the church to engage in illicit sexual relations at the pagan temples and there to eat the food that had been offered to an idol. No wonder that this woman is given the name Jezebel, because her namesake in the Old Testament persuaded Israel to worship Baal, the god of fertility, and Asherah, the goddess of fertility. That's Kiss the Maker. All right. H.B. Sweet writes, the angel of the church is regarded as a weak Ahab who allows himself to be a tool of a new Jezebel. Grotius, which happens to be an ancient commentator, Grotius writes, Grotius, who accepted this reading and believed the angels of the churches to be their bishops, was driven to the strange and logical conclusion. He was driven to the strange and logical conclusion that the false prophetess was the wife of the bishop of the church of Thyatira. G.B. Card writes, the one fault is the tolerated presence of the prophetess. In view of the prominence accorded to her, it is likely that this woman, that spirit, was accepted on the grounds of her charismatic gifts as leader of the community. So in my conclusion, I write, not one commentator has concluded that the woman, in parenthesis, named Jezebel in Revelation 2:20, was actually a malevolent spirit or a demon, as Jensen Franklin asserts in his sermon, Jezebel's Children. All commentators concluded that Jezebel was an actual woman. She was an actual woman. Well, my brothers and sisters, as you can see, you have an outline on page 14. It continues on page 15. It goes to page 16, and it ends on page 17. That's tomorrow's outline, so don't peek. Wait until tomorrow. Wait until I break it down for you. And this concludes today's show. I need your help. Listen, you got to tell. Listen, today's church is so filled with pandemonists. The pastors are pandemonists. The pastors are always talking about demons, this demon and that demon and this other demon, and then the demons all come together. And listen, it's not that I'm anti-demon or that I don't believe in demons. Oh, I believe in demons, but I'm not a pandemonist. I have balance. You see, you can be at one extreme and not believe in demons, or you can be at the other extreme and believe everything's the cause of a demon. You got to be in the middle. You got to be balanced. Our churches are filled with people who see demons everywhere and blame demons for everything. They need to hear this series. I'm sure that everyone listening to me today knows about 20 people that should be listening to this series and following me with these outlines. So I need you to be a media missionary. I need you to tell other people about it and tell them to email me, because the only way they're going to get the outlines is if they email me at freechurchbooks@gmail.com. And for those of you who have been emailing me for a long time, I don't collect email addresses to bombard you with petitions for money. We don't beg for money here. We don't ask for money here. So the only reason why I want your email address is to get to you the free outlines. All right? So tell other people about the series. And if you don't listen to the shows live, the shows are archived, so you can always listen to them later on at your convenience. But please, let me encourage you to tell another 20 people about the series. In addition, if you are coming in today for the first time and you fail to listen to broadcast 1, 2, 3, and 4, don't do yourself a disservice and say, well, I don't really need to listen. No, you need to listen, because those shows were an introduction, a foundation to everything that I'm doing now. So please listen to broadcast 1, listen to broadcast 2, listen to broadcast 3, listen to broadcast 4, and then once again listen to this broadcast so you can see how everything ties in. Well, saints, I'll be back tomorrow. Love you much in Jesus. Keep the faith. And don't forget, Jesus is coming soon. Are you ready? Are you ready for the Lord? Are you ready to receive him? I hope and pray you are. God bless.